Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this choke horse. But it's no horse bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? It is your boy, Weed Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. As always, I'm joined by DJ Wavy D. We got some wrestling to discuss. Again, as always, going over SmackDown, going over Raw. As we always start the show, we're going to point you to the description box where you can join. You know, it's WrestleMania season. We're 11 days away. They dropped their WrestleMania-themed merchandise on the website. Go get you a new Rey Fénix mask. Go get you some Grande Americano merchandise. And also, if you are planning your trip, you know, you're your last-minute planner, you probably ain't going to get a hotel at this point if you're going to Vegas. But you could try on our Expedia link, as well. And always, as always, join the Discord. It's where our conversation happens. But with all of that, one final piece of housekeeping. It's going to be a busy week on the channel just for this week only. For those who don't know me and Junkyard James share the same room to record. James is going out of town. He's going to Orlando this week. So I'm going to have this little room to myself. So we're going to use that opportunity to make some more episodes. We got a lot going on. We got this episode, of course, tonight. Tomorrow will be a live stream talking about all things AEW. Thursday, we'll break down NXT and Evolve. Friday's our normal rant episode. And then Sunday, we'll have another episode breaking down SmackDown. There'll be a lot to keep up with. So definitely join us or join, you know, Wavy D. If you want to talk AEW, you're free to come in. I don't know if you watch Dynasty. That's what we're mostly going to be talking about. But with that, let's jump on in with Let's Get Cooking. We're 11 days away from WrestleMania. And the question we're going to discuss now is, if you could change one thing about the current WrestleMania build, what would it be? Let you start.
All right. So my major thing that I would change first is if I could rewind time back to the Royal Rumble, Charlotte Flair would not have won the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
I would have gave it to someone like a Bianca Belair. I would have gave it to someone like a Bianca Belair. Actually, no, Loki, I would give it like Jordynne Grace. I would give it to someone to make like an impact. All right. I like to reward.
Right, so I know you like to use like Rumble. You like it when they used to use Rumble as a way to like get people over and not push established stars.
Yeah,
you know. So would you have liked if Roxanne Perez won?
Yeah, I would have liked a Roxanne Perez or a Jordynne Grace because like I thought it would have been dope to see like a Jordynne Grace versus Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
At the time. Or Jordynne Grace versus even Tiffany Stratton. But definitely, I think I probably would lean more towards Jordynne Grace versus Rhea Ripley, or if Roxanne won, or Roxanne versus Tiffany. I feel like that would be a nice feud. I forgot if they had that down in NXT. Cause I forgot who Tiffany gave the title to. She gave it to Roxanne, right? Before leaving.
Tiffany lost it to Lyra? Or no, she lost it to Becky. Lyra. She lost it to Becky. She lost it to Becky, and then Becky lost it to Lyra.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
So I think a Tiffany versus Roxanne Perez feud mm-hmm. would have been cool. So I probably would have changed the Royal Rumble winner. Jey Uso was cool. I looking at the story now, he was the right decision. Going back in time, I probably would give it to CM Punk. But the way the stories have played out, I'm satisfied and okay with Jey Uso winning. A smaller change I would have made going to WrestleMania itself. WrestleMania just feels like it needs a ladder match of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Like I miss looking forward to WrestleMania every year to a 6-man ladder match. I know it hasn't been that way for a while, but they always kind of like substitute it with either like the tag team title ladder match or the mid-card title had a ladder match. I want to go back to having ladder matches at WrestleMania. WrestleMania is a big stake pay-per-view. Ladder matches are big stake matches. And, you know, it seems right for it.
Yeah.
But definitely. Those are like the two main things I probably would have changed in the season.
Right. So, my answer for this, I'm going to cheat a little bit because it's more than just like, y'all know I haven't been the biggest supporter of this build. So I would just complete if it was way too deep, we're turning back the clock. We're going back to the beginning of the year and we're building towards Mania. You can change something. What would I change? And it would just be completely how they've built the women's division as a whole, right? The men's side of the card. I personally would have done Jay versus Cody because I think there's a better story there, and then done Cena versus Gunther. But I'm not going to complain with what we have because I think both stories have turned out okay. Punk, Roman, and Rollins is fine. You know, Fatu versus LA Knight's okay. Like, the mid-card probably could use some help. But I'm not going to sit and complain about the men's side of the card because I think it's decent. The women's side of the card, I would have completely changed how they've built it. I would do that. I agree. Sure. Looking back in time, I've been the biggest proponent of Charlotte Flair winning Rumble. I have been for, 6 months before she did it. Looking back in time, though, I do think Bianca should have won Royal Rumble. I think Bianca wins Rumble, immediately calls out Rhea Ripley, and you could build a 12-week story that leads to them two at Mania. That would be great. I think I would also have Charlotte Flair. I've always said their issue right now in their story is that they were miscast and who should be the face and who should be the heel. That, in my opinion, Charlotte should have come in sort of expecting to be, back at the top, but basically being told by Nick Aldis and all the other women in the locker room, no, you're not just going to Nepo baby your way into this. You're going to have to earn it. And she wins Elimination Chamber, having to go through a bunch of obstacles. You could, show promos of her rehab and how she's earned her spot back in WWE. I think that would have made people care and actually feel bad for Charlotte Flair rather than just sticking her in here and the character she's playing now. And then the other big adjustment I would do would be the women's mid-card belts. You created them, and you've done absolutely nothing to make them feel important. We brought in Nikki Bella at the Rumble with the idea that she was probably going to fight Chelsea Green, and she hasn't shown up since. Looking back in hindsight, Wavy D said that was a stupid pick at 30. Looking back at hindsight, it probably was. It's a waste of a position if you're not going to utilize Nikki Bella in any way.
If you want to bring her back sooner in the match, I've been right. more okay with that.
Right. Absolutely. Thing. Absolutely. And then you give Lyra this title, and I've been saying this for several weeks. Lyra Valkyria versus Io Sky for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. First off, would be potential to be match of the night. That would be a banger match. Both are very good in-ring opponents and participants. But then Io winning that at Mania, giving it some prestige, to me would be a bigger moment for Io than where she's at right now. Just in my opinion, I understand a lot of people will disagree. But yeah, just the overall booking of the whole women's division, I would be the one thing that I would change.
I need more Theory and Waller on my TV.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, and then with Charlotte Tiffany, I think a mistake they made was I think they should have tested running a heel versus heel program. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
See who could be the bigger bitch. Like,
exactly. Yeah. So that was one of the first things I noticed when Triple H put Tiffany Stratton in his little template that he ran with Cody and he ran with Rhea and he ran with Jay of we're going to destroy them and then build them back up with sympathy. And Tiffany Stratton just doesn't fit that template. She needs to be the arrogant, you know, young, confident blonde that, you know, I don't know why they got rid of the whole, you know, daddy's little girl gimmick that she ran in NXT, because I thought that went pretty good. And, you know, I think it would have been funny in this feud if that's what she was playing and it comes out that her sugar daddy is Ric Flair. That would have been fucking hilarious. That would have been fucking hilarious. Run the same type of story you ran with Charlotte and Lacey Evans, but with Tiffany Stratton instead of Lacey Evans, and people would actually care about it. That's just my opinion there. We're going to go to SmackDown, which means we're probably going to talk more about those two individuals here in a minute. I didn't watch this episode of SmackDown. I haven't watched SmackDown, honestly, in about 4 or 5 weeks. I've been living off of clips on YouTube. I'm just going to be honest. SmackDown's been the worst show in wrestling, even worse than Dynamite, for at least 4 or 5 weeks. So I know you watched SmackDown at least a little bit. So what were your thoughts on the episode?
So I was watching SmackDown live. This is just to run through them real fast with you. Let's see. Where'd my tab go? So, yeah, for April 4th, we had the debut of Rey Fénix versus Nate Frazier. Really good match. I liked it a lot. People try to say that Nate got a little too much offense in. I mean, just because it's someone's debut doesn't mean it got to be a squash match.
Right.
These are two of the best in-ring workers in the light division.
I don't understand. In the world. So, I can understand if you've never seen or heard of Fénix before. I would imagine that even casual fans know of Rey Fénix and his style. Like, they're not going to put him in the ring with Omos to wrestle a technical, you know, or they're not going to put him in the ring with like a Kurt Angle style wrestler where they're going to grapple for 35 minutes. They were going to put him against Nathan Frazier because you're going to get your high spots. And that is what it is. I fully was not surprised when that was announced. I think Frazier was the perfect opponent for him. One, you get to test Frazier just like they did a few weeks ago with Axiom when they were in Spain. You get to test them on the main roster. I have a feeling they're going to be part of the call-ups after Mania. You get to test their likability on the main roster while also debuting someone you're going to push in Rey Fénix.
Yes. And Rey Fénix, just like his brother, had a really good match, followed up by an emotional promo afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
people were trying to say that Ray Phoenix like botched a lot of spots, and like people were submitting this one clip on Twitter, but it was literally Nathan Frazier caught his foot in the rope, and landed short, and they tried to blame it on Phoenix not catching him. But first of all, Ray did catch him, but they're trying to say he was out of position. It was like, first of all, he was not out of position. Nathan Frazier got caught on the rope and fell short.
Right.
Because anybody who watched a Nathan Frazier match knows that he could dive through the ropes and land halfway up the stage.
Yeah. If you watched a single Fraxium match, Nathan Frazier, like a week or two ago, I forgot exactly when it was, but he did a suicide dive and landed on the announce table.
Yeah.
On his feet. Like Nathan it happens with that fast paced style. You'll get caught up every shit. It even happened to Jordan Grace today. On NXT. So it happens.
Afterwards, Humberto, he demanded a match against Phoenix. Because, you know, Humberto and Garza weren't quote unquote that impressed with him. So that there's that. LA Knight defeated Tama Tonga at Pinfall. Tiffany and Charlotte, we'll get to that, had their war of words. Next week we have a tag team gauntlet. So to figure out who's going to face Liv and Raquel at WrestleMania.
Some of these teams are crazy in this gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like Natalya versus Maxine, Maxine and Natalya as a tag team.
That's yeah, they've been teasing it in the back, in the background, but they have that coming up. Morrissey Machine Guns. I was happy. Got to see him versus DIY. So that right there was like really good TV for me. Mm-hmm. It's like I got to see. I'm pretty sure it went. Phoenix versus Frazier, I think a segment, and then went right into Morrissey Machine Guns versus DIY. So I was happy. Naomi defeated B-Fab in 2 minutes. That was good.
Yeah, you would leave happy with that.
back to back, good segments. We had Kevin Owens pulling out WrestleMania 41 with a neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
And what's to come with that? Jacob Fatu defeated Braun Strowman in a last-minute standing match to earn a number one contendership for the United States title at Mania. So, just to backtrack a little bit, do you want to talk about Kevin Owens first or the ladies?
Let's talk about Owens first. We'll save the best for last. Best segment from SmackDown from last. But Owens, first off, this does hurt Mania a little bit. But like I said, I think it was on Sunday, when you wrestle the style Kevin Owens wrestles.
For as long as he has.
Something's bound to happen. I know the report was saying that this could be like a 2 to 3 year recovery. I highly doubt that. So I guess my question that I have for you is, first off, who's Randy Orton fighting? Do you think they do an open challenge with Orton? And then... Do you think Kevin Owens retires with this injury, or do you think he'll return?
So, I think Owens has at least one more match in him. I think he's the type of guy where he wants to go out on his own terms, so he'll want one more match, especially maybe one match against Sammy or one more match against someone. As far as who's ready to face at WrestleMania, I think it's going to be open challenge, or more, not quite open challenge. I think Nick Aldis is going to have a surprise opponent for him.
Okay, so he'll be like, Randy, you got a match. I'll tell you who it is at Mania.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it's not Nick Aldis. I want Nick Aldis's debut match to be against Adam Pearce,
yes. Aldis versus Adam Pearce.
At Survivor Series. That's all we need. Survivor Series.
That would be perfect.
That's all we need. I mean, it can be WrestleMania for all I care, but I think that match fits better on a SummerSlam or
Survivor like, that's Series. Like, yeah, that's like a SummerSlam or like a Survivor Series
bragging rights
type thing, where like the winner of it gets like the first pick in the draft or whatever.
Yes.
Or the winner gets to take a superstar from the loser's roster or something like that.
I definitely want to see Nick versus Aldis. Nick versus Adam. I mean,
so. I know a lot of people think it's Aldis. I know the rumor is Aleister Black. Would you be fine with Black, or would Rusev fit better in this situation?
So the thing is, you got to pick a wrestler who wouldn't necessarily be harmed by losing their debut slash returning match. So I know he hasn't been out for the longest time, but you could bring back a Sami Zayn with that weird relationship he has with Kevin Owens.
Right.
He could blame Randy or something, or I don't know. If he could feel bad for what they did, and he wants to make it up to him or whatever. So you could do like a Sami Zayn, even though I feel like he should be out for longer. You can run a Malakai Black, Aleister Black, but then is Randy okay with just taking a pin at Mania?
Right.
I mean, I think Randy should be okay with it, especially since there's no title on the line. It's just a Mania match. You know, he could always be blamed, but, you know, he could always blame it on being caught off guard, you know, get his win back at, like, Backlash or whatever. So I think you could debut an Aleister Black here. That debut would bring back. You could bring back a Rusev, but I guess reports are he'll be ready for more of like a SummerSlam slash October kind of thing. One person's name that I kind of slid out there was a Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
I think Matt Riddle's big enough and liked enough.
And he has a relationship with Randy.
You could bring him back for a one-night thing or a short-time thing.
Especially if Randy's match is on Sunday and it's a 420 match. Yes, sir. Matt Riddle would be great.
You could bring in Joe Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few names of superstars I would be okay with. Yeah, right. Range from all the guys I said. I tried to look at like a free agents in wrestling. None of the names that are currently out there are big enough to put against Randy on Mania.
Right.
It's a very short list of names that will kind of be approved.
Yeah.
And who already know like the WWE system.
Yeah. Most of the bigger ones are in NXT now. I mean, I could see maybe like them bringing up like Ethan Page or something to do it. I like your Matt Riddle idea. I think that'll fit. That works the best because there's already like a built-in story there.
It can even be a heel Matt Riddle if anything.
Right.
It's like Red, you left me to the side. I've been scrounged on the indies.
Right. You while you were out, I held the team down, and then you came back and you didn't even question where I went type thing. I like that idea. So let's go ahead and get to it. Let's talk about the ladies. We got some drama. I want to hear everyone already knows my opinion, and we'll elaborate if needed. But I'm going to let Wavy D here talk about it, and we'll see where this thing goes.
I mean, there's not too much to say. Like, I mean, me personally, I'm on Team Tiffy here. Because, one, it wasn't the first time in this feud where Charlotte went off script to an extent. It went into business for herself to an extent. All right? She stopped doing teamwork the week prior when they had their Skype call together. She stopped playing team ball. And then even earlier in the segment before Tiffany went off script, Charlotte again went into business for herself and stopped playing team ball. So I think all is fair in love and war. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, saying Tiffany got her word in. She dissed her bed. Like the live reaction from the crowd said it all. The live reaction from us in the Discord watching said it all. And also, it's not even Charlotte's first time going off script slash business for herself in wrestling in general. You remember her in the Nia situation, her and Becky. So Charlotte has, you know, an ego to her, whether it's earned or not, deserving so or not. She has an ego to her. To where she, you know, she feels like, you know, she's a flair and she can kind of say and do whatever she pleases. And, you know, you can be the, you know, say maybe one day or most of your career, you might have been the baddest bitch in the yard or the meanest bitch in the yard, but a new girl showed up. That new girl's a mean girl. So, you know what I'm saying? And also, I feel like Tiffany did what a younger Charlotte would have done. It's like looking in the mirror. Now, if you know, before we dive into, you know, we don't want this to be like a regular occurrence, no. But, you know, we don't want it to be like AEW where everything becomes like a rap battle. You hear for yourself. But I'm definitely okay with a style of, here are the bullet points you guys need to hit on your scripts tonight, on your promos. You know what I'm saying? You know, because at the end of the day, promos is a battle. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the aspects of wrestling that can get you noticed, can get you push up the card, can get you more camera time. You know what I'm saying? The great talkers, they find time for them. So if we go along the style of, if Triple H sits down with us and he says, hey, I need you two to hit so-and-so bullet points, X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, 3. Outside of that, play team ball, you know, do your best. And it's competition. Who wants to grab that brass ring? So on and so forth. But to sum it all up, Team Tiffany.
So I'm going to respond to that because I do think this idea that, first off, everyone's like, oh, I'm Team Tiffany or We Too Deep's Team Charlotte or whatever. I don't actually pick sides here. The way I look at this, it's very simple. We have two characters telling a story. Now, whether or not Charlotte went off script or whatever, I don't actually think there was a script. I think Triple H did exactly what you said he did. Here's where we need. Here's the bullet points we want to hit. You guys go make magic. And I think what he told Charlotte was we need to put Tiffany in a place where the fans feel bad for her. I think she did exactly that in the sit down little Skype interview. You guys could say she undermined it, Tiffany, and didn't let her speak and she interrupted, and I just see that as very good heel work. I don't necessarily think Charlotte did anything wrong in doing that. With that being said, let's just say that's bad. Cool. Talk to her behind the curtain, say, hey, we need to let Tiffany speak. Allowing Tiffany Stratton to go out there, and I'm sure they didn't check mark and approve what she said. I think this was on the spot. Tiffany decided to do it. The problem that I have with Tiffany Stratton saying what she said, it isn't necessarily what she said. It was that it didn't fit the character or the story. And in doing so, you expose the business for... So my biggest issue is Tiffany Stratton's supposed to be the person we're supposed to feel bad for who's being bullied by Charlotte Flair. And if rather than calling out, you know, Charlotte's personal business, she came out and did a promo about how, Charlotte, you're just a bully... The whole point of what I believe Charlotte was trying to accomplish was making Tiffany feel bullied so that when you get to WrestleMania and Tiffany overcomes the bully, that's supposed to be Tiffany's moment. I think that there's a story we could play here. I think Tiffany's just not mature enough. I don't want to say not professional. I know I've said that in the past, but I just think it's a lack of experience in the business of, sometimes you're going to be, you know, especially with being, a lot of people don't want to be a face because you can't be the mean girl. Tiffany Stratton's not the mean girl in this character, which again is the wrong character for her, but she's the one they definitely are setting this story up to where Tiffany Stratton looked weak, looked like Charlotte was over top of her, and then Tiffany was going to win the match at Mania. And that's what they were setting up. Now with Tiffany getting her shot back here, going off the script, now that messes up that storyline. That's why I'm so upset at it. I don't necessarily care what she said. I think she did cross a line. I think bringing up personal things that have never made their way on screen, especially when it's sensitive things like, like divorce. I don't necessarily think it's one of those things that should be talked about. Has it been done before? Sure. But that's not even the main reason I'm upset about. I'm upset because we have two actresses playing characters who have both gone off script and made the business look bad. It made the story look bad. So me, the way I watch wrestling, I just care about characters and stories. And if you try to bring personal stuff that has nothing to do with the characters or the stories, it makes wrestling look bad, in my opinion. I don't want the rap battle style. Well, you got up on me last week, so I'm going to get my receipt back on you this week type promos. We can save that for AEW. The best type of promos are the ones that tell a story and progress week to week. And we just haven't got that with this feud.
I mean, I think Tiffany, saying what she said, I think it's up there with John Cena exposing Rock for writing his promos on his wrist.
I don't see, and I know a lot of people have said this, I don't see it the same way, because you could physically see The Rock handwriting on his wrist.
I didn't. I didn't see nothing until John Cena brought it up.
I don't see it as the same type of circumstance. Me personally.
Or when John Cena bullied Roman Reigns, a young Roman Reigns, he's like, "It's a promo, kid. You got to learn how to cut it." Like in the middle of a ring,
right.
And he was dogging him. And you know, I feel like, you know, especially if Charlotte's character, if her story is saying that Tiffany is just a younger Charlotte, the next up and coming wannabe Charlotte, and Tiffany's like, "Hey, I already got more done in my life at 25 than you did in your life at 25. She's like, "I'm not the next Charlotte. I'm the first Tiffany."
But I don't have they really expressed that on TV though.
Yeah, Charlotte said that Tiffany's a Charlotte wannabe or a Charlotte copy, and all this stuff in all their promos, saying that she's a wannabe Charlotte. Or a wannabe.
Because the way I look at Charlotte's character is she came back as a arrogant, narcissistic, you know, just pain in the ass. And if you've ever dealt with a narcissist, they make the story all about them. Charlotte's playing a character, and she's doing it pretty well if you understand that her character is supposed to be narcissistic. I think Tiffany's not playing her end of the film they're trying to make here. She's supposed to be the sympathetic babyface. Again, the wrong role to cast her in, but that's the role they have her in, and I don't think she knows how to play that.
I think Charlotte's like, she's flustered because she can't find her character right now. Because I think when she came back, she wanted to be a face. But literally 5 seconds into her promo, the audience let her know, "Hey, we don't want you as a face. We don't even want you here." She was getting go-away heat. And even in her promo against Tiffany, when she started getting rattled and then starts talking about like Tiffany's like voice or whatever, some like childish stuff, Charlotte was getting shook because the crowd was just nonstop booing. And it's not even like how we booed Dominic Mysterio. Like, you know, we love to boo you, or like, booing you because we hate you, like Finn Balor. She was getting like that go away, like Young Bucks, Mercedes Moné. Like, she was getting that type of go away heat, like just get off the screen heat.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with, and this is what my main point, one of my main points was when I talked about it Friday or Sunday, whenever I talked about it. I think a lot of this comes down to a lot of the people who are taking Tiffany Stratton's side on this are doing that solely because they have a personal disdain against Charlotte Flair. And I think that's a lot of why Charlotte Flair gets booed, is because a lot of the fans just don't like her because her dad's Ric Flair, and they feel like she's been given and handed everything. Which I don't necessarily know how we could, how anyone could say she hasn't busted her ass to get to where she is. I went back and watched the little sit down interview because I had never seen it before. I just assumed, you know, when Dirty D and you guys were telling me, oh, she was coming after Charlotte or coming after Tiffy. You know, I think a lot of people, especially in the casual audience, they were like, oh, she came after Tiffany's money. She did no such thing. Tiffany's not going to get fired because of what Charlotte Flair did in this promo. I think Charlotte Flair gave Tiffany Stratton a layup. If Tiffany just became flustered and started crying and talking about how Charlotte was bullying her, that's the character I think Charlotte is playing. And Tiffany just, again, she's just not experienced enough to on the fly go with, I believe, an easy layup that Charlotte gave her. And instead, she took it personally and she tried to get revenge instead of playing team ball and said, hey, Charlotte's playing her end of the deal here. Let me play mine and we can make magic in the ring in the match when we have this moment when I beat Charlotte Flair. I'm 100% convinced Tiffany Stratton is winning this match solely because of the character Charlotte's playing. However, as I said when I did discuss it, if I'm booking the show now, I don't know if I allowed Tiffany Stratton to win. I know that was sort of seen as a bad opinion, but I'm jobbing Tiffany out. I'm not even, you know, you're going second on the card. You get 5 minutes. You're losing to Charlotte, and that's what it is. I'll explain that further because we do have a question about it in the question section. Let's transition into Raw last night.
Oh, you missed the big part for SmackDown. The Seth Roman and CM Punk stuff.
Yeah.
He picked a side. Paul Heyman picked a side on SmackDown.
Paul Heyman did pick a side. He chose CM Punk, saying, my tribal chief, I can't choose you this time. I have to do this favor, which leads into Monday night. And we'll talk about what Seth Rollins had to say about it. But, yeah, this was a pretty big moment. I don't know. I think this part, you know, I was starting to get annoyed with the favor and them constantly bringing up and then never revealing what it is. But it's actually become one of the more interesting builds in this Mania. I'm intrigued to see where this goes because it essentially is who leaves with Paul Heyman.
I told you, if you leave my spoiler theory that I said or in the chat earlier. So for y'all who are paying attention this past Monday night on SmackDown, Monday night on Raw, they were floating out this stat that said it was a graphic. Roman Reigns has main evented 11 WrestleManias. But he's only sitting at 9 currently.
Main event
night one.
Honestly,
Seth favor is when he gets put in the title picture.
No, I honestly think it was a typo, and Michael Cole just went with it. That's what I'm gonna until now. Look, if I'm proven wrong and Roman Reigns wins on Saturday and shows up on Sunday, and you're right, cool. It is what it is. I just think it was a typo that was missed. Overlooked and Michael Cole just in the heat of the moment read what was on the screen and went with it. Let's talk about Raw. We start with the women and we officially have a triple threat.
Called that shit out like 2 months ago.
Yeah, I don't know why Adam Pearce acting like this was some surprise. Like we knew about this shit, you know, as soon as EO won the title. But we get Rhea, we get Bianca. We're not necessarily going to make predictions here, but that's next week's show. I think this will be a fun match. As much as I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of it, but it's interesting to it appears, at least from how they're booking it, Io's probably leaving with the title. Because it appears like a lot of the tension is between Rhea and Bianca, which is probably going to set up like a SummerSlam match or some sort of feud down the line. I'm not the biggest fan of that. Again, that's not my official prediction. That's just what it appears on the screen. What were your thoughts on the segment?
I thought the segment was good. Bianca definitely did not win best dressed. The outfit she had on was fucking atrocious.
Bianca wins with all her outfits. You just a hater.
No, that outfit was atrocious. If anything, she should have wore red. Okay. No. We had Io wearing white, Rhea wearing black. Bianca should have wore red. Okay. It all will look better. But now you want them both to wear black, Io wearing white, which makes me think Io's going to overcome these demons at WrestleMania and walk out glorious. Glorious victory.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying what the screen is telling me. Okay.
Right.
It's called what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for? When the story
like is foreshadowing?
It's foreshadowing her victory of her overcoming these demons, okay? The person who shows her outfits.
Right. Right, well, while we're talking about outfits, though, I'm going to need all these simps in the IWC to stop acting like the flat-ass pancakes EO Sky showed us last night.
That was one person. That was your brother.
It's not just my brother. It's everyone on Twitter.
That was because you try to throw some rage bait.
It didn't work. It's everyone in the it's all the gooners on the IWC talking about Io Sky cheeked up last night. No, she wasn't. Stop it. She mid at best. There's a reason I left her off my little chart. Because she don't fit on the chart. So yeah,
she above the chart. All right. Nah. Everyone knows Io fine. Even before Io was cheeked up, okay? And also, she was only cheeked up to help out Zoe Stark and her new gimmick that's on the rise, okay?
Yeah.
We got the censorship part two, okay? Mm. Also, if you're on Twitter or X or whatever, and you see Zoe Stark and she puts the hashtag censor, do not click it. You'll see a lot of porn.
Big facts.
So
she needs a new hashtag.
Exactly.
Big fan.
Yeah, so Io Sky, I'm on team Io. Io to the fullest. That's it for the women.
So yeah, we follow that up with was this Grande Americano that was next?
No, you had the women's IC title match.
That's right. Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. And what was a pretty decent match. We got to talk about this. This Minnesota crowd was dead as fuck. I'm typically not one that complains about crowds because I don't necessarily pay attention to them. But there was zero response to anything happening in the ring.
Lyra's the weird girl, all right?
Lyra's a great in-ring performer. Y'all got to stop hating.
She is. She's the weird. She's the bird girl. She's weird.
Nah, I mean, I don't see it as weird, but I personally would have had Bayley win this just because we need something to care about with this title. I don't even know why we're.
The problem is she walks around like she got arms and shoulders like Brock Lesnar, and she's hunched over. She wears bird feathers.
She's a raven.
She says woo when that thing has been taken by like three of her wrestlers over the last 50 years. She got to go back to the drawing board.
She's a raven, big dog. That's what she is. And we'll talk about the big dog here in a minute. A decent match went like 15 minutes was what it was. Lyra retains. Don't know where it's headed. Don't think it really matters. She's not on Mania. So just a fun little match.
Up next, match of the week.
Yes. It's
my match of the week winner. Grande Americano and the Creed Brothers versus LWO.
Yeah. We got to talk about this because I was listening to JD from NY, which I know a lot of people find controversial, but I find his stuff, for the most part, entertaining to listen to. He was talking about this, and I actually agree with him. We need to do something with Rey Mysterio holding back Cruz del Toro and the other dude, I can't think of his name.
Joaquin Wild.
Those two are a very good tag team who are being held down by Rey Mysterio because Rey Mysterio makes everything about himself. This LWO gimmick's got to go. Can we just get the hair versus mask match with Mysterio and Dom and Rey go somewhere, please. But we are going to probably get a mask versus match. Hopefully that's what they announce next week between El Grande Americano and Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania and what might be the match of the weekend. Because Grande Americano is the best on the roster right now. Yeah, all day. This was a fun little match. I don't know what Michael Cole was over there complaining about. I didn't see nothing get stuffed in Mr. Americano's mask. I think it was legal. I don't know what he's talking about.
I thought it was just padding that fell out.
Yeah.
He was fixing his mask.
Yeah. I mean, we go from here. Next was we have a Judgment Day segment, like backstage around this point, which was good. I think the next match was
We had the Jay and Gunther segment.
We got to talk about this. I thought this was a good promo. In the moment, I was a little bit upset because Gunther didn't say anything. However, now that I've had a full night and a whole day to think about it, I think that's Gunther played his role perfectly here. There was nothing more for him to say. I think the way this looks to me is Jey Uso is or Gunther is in Jey Uso's head. The exact emotion that Gunther wanted Jey to have going into this match, he has. I can see a world. I know everyone's preparing for Jey Uso to win the title in that moment. I can see a world where Gunther retains the title. What did you think of this segment? Outside of this one final thing, Jey Uso needs to change his cadence, the way he talks. He says like three words and then stops and then says three words and it's highly annoying. Jimmy's definitely the better promo, but I digress. What did you think of this segment?
Well, me personally, I thought the crowd ruined the segment.
When they started eating for no reason?
Because Jay was telling the crowd to quiet.
Right.
Down, but they weren't. Mm-hmm. And so Jay was trying to get emotional and talk about him.
Yeah.
Self.
Yeah.
But then the crowd wanted to keep on. And they kind of stepped on what Jay was saying.
Yeah, see what you're doing here.
No, but and Jay was trying to give him the signal like, yo, chill out. Don't yeet. But you know white folk, you know what I'm saying?
You're not wrong. It is Minnesota.
They wanted to get involved. They wanted to yeet. And even Jay walked to the ring all business. He wasn't yeeting with the crowd. He walked to the
right.
He's walking down.
It's one of those things that I talk about all the time. I get you pay your money and you want to have a good time, but you are part of the show. You have to know what your role is and read the fucking room. Like Like, Jey Uso's in all black. He's not eating. We're not eating tonight.
Yeah, I bet you the overseas crowd would have got the hit.
Right. Now, they would have started a Jey Uso fucking chant.
Cody.
Speaking Rose. Of which, can we talk about this? Can the American crowd not copy this? Because in AEW, they try to copy it. In NXT, they've started copying it. Leave that for Europe. Yeah, leave it. Leave it for Europe. That's their thing.
No, I like it, though. Bring it over here. Bring it to America. Cody Rhodes.
Fucking hate that chant.
Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes. I like it. Well, you know, Jey Uso, he was getting emotional. He was getting deep in his promo. He was like, you know, it's about, like, I got to look my mom in the eyes and tell her I couldn't protect him. I couldn't help him. I was scared. I was scared, right. You, Gunther.
At first, it was kind of weird because he was like, you got a mama? And I'm like, well, no fucking shit. And then I saw the point he was trying to.
Once he said that, I knew exactly where he was going. I peeped it. And I was like, oh, he's about to cook. He's about to cook. And I was like, low key, what's good to do there, Bob? Maybe his mom could pass away. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? And he smacked the blank out of his hand. You're not talking. You gotta listen.
Yeah. I thought it was a highly good segment. I know a lot of people feel like we missed the momentum with Gunther, but I think Gunther just standing there and sort of just laughing at Jey did enough to, like, Gunther doesn't take Jey seriously, right? And that may be, you know, in the one place where I say, well, Gunther's in Jey's head. He's emotional now. He's made it personal, and you don't do that against Gunther. In the other aspect, Gunther doesn't take Jey serious, and that's, we saw that with Sami Zayn when Sami beat him for the IC title. That's how, when Gunther doesn't take you serious, that's when you can beat him. So I think it's 50-50 booking right now. Either one could win and it'd be believable. I think it's a very good segment that we got here. Following this, we had, I don't have it in front of me.
The best dress goes to Gunther.
Yeah. With his little, his, Mr. Bean fucking tie on and everything. Let's talk about the final. Oh, well, we had a match with, it was Penta and Dom in the wrestling portion of the show, right? It was Penta and Dom.
Penta
and Dom, yep. A decent match. Not bad at all. But I think the one thing that stole this segment was at the very end when Carlito got speared out of his fucking shoes.
Bro, that's
Braun Breaker heard Goldberg say that no one can beat his spear, and he took it personally.
I know that when that spear happened.
let's talk about Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman here. What a promo! What a promo this was. You know, Paul, we got to get you out of this. I could do it for you. It just takes one stomp. And then CM Punk comes out and makes the save. He gets stomped. And Seth Rollins stops midair and says, I'm not gonna stomp you today, but now you owe me a favor.
I'm not really sure how favors work, Seth.
This has become the story of favors. I think this has been the best build going into Mania, just personally. What was your thoughts on this segment?
Not gonna lie, I was a little distracted. I was getting ready for post Raw, so like I had the segment on. I was getting my bed all comfy, getting my phone charged, and I was getting my blankets all fluffed up and my pillow right. I was turning my fan on, turn the lights off. So I was a little sidetracked. I got the gist of what was going on. Seth Rollins at this current point isn't quite doing it for me. He needs a revamp of his character, which maybe Paul Heyman can bring him, depending where this story goes. But
yeah,
I mean, I always think that a show should end with a wrestling match.
Yeah.
I mean, if it ends with a promo, it better be a goddamn good promo or right. someone I haven't seen in a while or something big. I feel like this could be the opening segment and been just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I probably would have started with this and then end it with I've always been the person that if you're going to have a title match on the card, it should main event, which brings me back to the match we forgot
None
about.
None of them did.
Right. Which brings me back to the match we forgot with the New Day versus War Raiders. I didn't hate the match. This tag division is so shitty. I don't know what's next for the War Raiders because they've beaten any legitimate tag team other than Theory and Waller, which we just sort of dropped whatever tension we had between them at.
They haven't beaten the newly healed New Day.
I mean,
New Day won via disqualification last
night. I mean, sure. But I don't know. I personally, like, does anyone actually care about the War Raiders? Like,
no.
At all? I mean, understand what we're doing with them.
They're unique in the ring as far as big guys.
But so they're the definition of Triple H guys. But even then, like when they were in NXT, whenever they would come out, the crowd would be behind them and go, war, war, war. I think Triple H is trying to relive that, but people just don't care. People just don't care. They're not the best promo. I don't necessarily think the look is good enough for the main roster casual crowd to get behind. And I don't feel like they've given us a reason to care about them, much less the tag division.
We need better talkers in the tag division.
Yeah.
We have, like, across the board. Like, we got some talkers. Like, you know, New Day could talk and tell a story. Miz and Waller could tell stories. They could talk. But, like, back in the day, you're talking to people who grew up in the tag division where we had, like, we had Rey Mysterio and Eddie versus, like, Eminem. Or right. we had DX versus Edge and Randy, or we had entertaining tag teams, and not every tag team needs to be a historically great tag team. It's okay to have flashes in the pan who are on TV for less than a year, you know, win the titles and then kind of fade away and become curtain jerkers. Like you remember like the Highlanders,
right?
Who were a formidable tag team, and then eventually, you know, Charlie Murdock and whatever his name is, they faded away. Like, you know, like.
Or even something like Too Cool.
Yeah, Too Cool or Crime Time.
Yeah.
And I think WWE needs to start becoming okay with having a revolving door of talent. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need to hold on to all these talent forever. Like, especially like the mid-card acts. Let them go. Let them test free agency and the independent circuit, AEW or whatever, and come back and be fresh again. You know, I think the reason Chris Jericho was one of the reasons he's regarded as one of the greats is because he always felt fresh, and that's because he would leave for like take a hiatus where he'd be go on tour
or something, then he would come back and he wouldn't come back as the same character. He would come back, you know, it would still be Chris Jericho, but, you know, he would leave and he would come back with a brand new gimmick every time he came back. Absolutely. Yeah, agreed with that. So we're moving on to the Wavy D best dress. We keeping at that. Is Gunther or were you just joking?
Gunther.
Is Gunther? All right. Best promo of the night or of the week?
Best promo of the week. Yeah. He's my MVP. We'll give promo of the week. Besides Tiffany Stratton, we'll give promo of the week to what's in my tongue? not Jay Uso. Not Cody, not Randy, not Rollins, not Roman. Who with? Oh, Rey Fénix. You know, I like the emotion. He came in.
Yeah.
He talked a little bit. I felt the emotion behind him. It was nice and fast to the point. We'll give Rey Fénix the thumbs up this week. Right. And my MVP goes to Paul Heyman for bringing, you know, connecting the story on both shows. Yep. His acting chops are still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, long term storytelling.
We'll
go with Paul Heyman.
All right, so my best promo. I'm gonna cheat again a little bit here. I'm gonna need you guys to go to JD from NY. Y'all have seen the clip because I've shared it. Everyone shared it. His Dynasty review when he goes off on AEW. Best promo I've heard all week. Better than anything on TV. So that's gonna be my best promo. Y'all need to go check that out. Whether you agree with him or not, y'all gotta. This man can talk. When he gets pissed off, he's the funniest. Best match of the week.
Best match of the week was the 6-man Luchador tag team match El Grande Americano,
uh-huh.
And the Creeds versus LWO.
I'm gonna do something that I'm pretty sure no one ever expected. And I'm going to grant AEW an award this week.
Well, I ain't watched Dynasty. It's the only matches I watched.
Right. So that's fine. Understood. Completely understand. If you ever find these matches, if you ever have the time to maybe go and try to see if you can find it, of anything that happened at Dynasty, the only match you need to watch is Ricochet, Speedball, Mike Bailey, and Kenny Omega. It's the greatest match of the night. It's a shame it took 5 hours to get to that point. Because I about fell asleep midway through it. I missed the whole main event because I fell asleep. Because it was 1 in the fucking morning. But that's for tomorrow. We'll rant on that tomorrow.
I saw some streamers. I saw some clips of streamers reacting. Like, what's her name? Minnie. Yeah. I saw Minnie react.
She was like, I'm too tired to be mad.
That was bullshit. I didn't realize it lasted that long.
Yeah, no.
1 o'clock in the morning. Damn.
Yeah. The main event did not start till midnight. Fucking insane.
I heard that a lot of the crowd missed the last train, like, out of Philly.
Oh, that fucking sucks.
So they had to either find Uber or they had to find a place to stay overnight because the show ran so long they missed the last trains out.
That fucking sucks. Oh, my God.
Because the show ran so long.
Yeah.
And I saw a clip of Matt Caster, catapulting his way back up the ramp after the match. He was just beat up, and he was like a caterpillar. Literally lay on the floor, scrunching his body up, extending.
Yeah.
Scrunching his body up, extending.
You know, there's some positives for that show, and we'll talk about Dynasty tomorrow, but I'll bring this up. AEW learned the art of something I wish WWE would learn called a squash match. When you're trying to debut a big guy you're trying to plan to use, you know, Anthony Bowens, and he comes out, he takes care of business in 30 seconds, and then he fucking goes backstage, and you make him look like a fucking beast. I wish WWE would learn that.
It took us like 5 months since they broke up to get this match. How long has it been since they broke up to get this match?
Probably about 4 or 5 months, yeah.
And Anthony Bowens hasn't been on TV since. Mm-hmm. They repackaged him, gave him new music or whatever.
Yeah,
he hasn't been on TV in 4 months.
Yeah, but at least he looked like a beast when he beat Max Caster. But we'll talk about that later.
What about the AEW main event? How about the Young Bucks return to the Young Bucks?
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I got a lot to say about AEW Dynasty, but that's on the live stream tomorrow after I see what happens. Because I was told that the follow through episode out this Wednesday, tomorrow night, April 9th. I was told that this is going to be big money because they opened up some more sections in Baltimore. And it's going to be a shitty ass show, but it is what it is.
They're going to answer all your questions.
That's what I've been told. I was told that I need to stop. I need to shut up. I can't critique the show. If I don't like it, just don't watch it. But you know what? I'm going to watch it anyway. Let's move on to our questions from the Discord. These were, you know, late submissions, partially because I forgot to ask for them. But that's okay.
Dude, these guys do a drill every Tuesday.
Right. Every Tuesday. Just put them in. Ask them throughout the week. We'll get to them. Y'all know the drill. First question, should WWE go on the route of AEW and have a ton of wrestling belts? We're going to differ on this question. I'm assuming you're going to say no.
He asked this question when it came to the women getting all these new titles, and I told him then, no. I said he should have brought in one mid-card title. And look it, neither mid-card title is going to be at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. So my answer to this is I don't see an issue with it as long – and that's the important part of the answer. As long as you intend to make the title feel important and relevant, please don't do what we did with the women's mid-card. Because these titles are completely irrelevant. You shouldn't have even created them. So I don't see an issue with having 27 belts if you're going to make all 27 of them feel important. That's really hard to do, so I don't see purpose in doing that. But yeah, that's my answer there. B-Master then goes and asks, do you think the Hall of Fame needs to be an actual building where you can visit? If so, where should they put it?
From what I recall, they were in the actual works of making the building before Vince got sent away or stepped down. I think they're still putting a building together or a location. I would assume you either put it in Orlando with the Performance Center,
yeah,
kind of make that all one thing, or you put it like within like one of the Disney parks,
right?
And you add it as like a wing or attraction. I don't think it could last like for example the Basketball Hall of Fame is its own building in Springfield, right, Massachusetts. Have I visited it a couple times? Yeah, it's, you know, school field trips and stuff like that. I've been there. Is there a reason to go there, like, whenever? Not really, no.
Right. So you actually answered the same way I would. There's zero business reason to even have a brick-and-mortar building with the Hall of Fame because there's no return factor there. Like, I go once, other than, you know, four or five new people being added every year, it's going to be the same experience every time you come. If they do anything, it should be like – it should travel with – it should be like an experience. You know, you buy a ticket to Raw and you get there an hour early. You can go through and look at a Hall of Fame or whatever. Or like you said, put it in Disney or put it in something like the Performance Center where you can like buy a tour of the Performance Center and it's part of the tour. I don't think it needs its own building. Just like you said, like, I'm sure the first time you went to the Basketball Hall of Fame, it was hype. But then the third time you went, you're like,
I'm from Connecticut, so and Springfield's not that. It's like a 45 minute ride, right. So it was a regular class field trip. You know, I went there like in like first, second grade. They had this like basketball simulator kind of thing. Went back maybe like 5 years ago. That's basketball simulator is still there. Same one. And I still suck at it as an adult. But I mean, got like the football ones in Canton, in the middle of Canton, Ohio, or whatever.
Yeah, if they were to have one, I would assume Orlando makes the most sense because that's where that's like a tourist location. The only other reasonable location would be in Stamford. Because that's where HQ is.
Are they shutting the headquarters down though? I thought they were shutting it down and going.
Yeah, I think they're new. I think their new building is in New York, like New York City, if I understand correctly. Because yeah, the building in Stamford is for sale. So
I would definitely put it inside Disney, especially if you have that working relationship with Disney, that partnership. I would make it its own wing of Disney.
Or you have a partnership with NBC Universal. You could put it in, you know, like something in Universal Studios.
So I imagine, you know, they had a whole TV show about it, like Find the Lost Treasures.
Right.
That show was about them getting stuff for the Hall of Fame. I mean, for the building, the Hall of Fame building or whatever. And, you know, you go through, you see all the old attire, you can go and see, I don't know, like have like a ring in the entrance and do like the cool, make your own entrance thing.
It'll probably be something like, they don't do it anymore at Mania, but when I went to WrestleMania in Orlando, they had their access. There was like, you know, come out to your favorite wrestler's music, or they had like a foam pit where you could jump off the top rope.
And
so that's what I imagine it would be. Maybe they'll probably do meet and greets there. I think it would be cool to have like a physical location that you could just host the Hall of Fame from, so that you don't force fans to have to go and pay $700 tickets to this hotel.
It would be more. I would get busts of statues of each of the wrestlers and have like a little 5-minute documentary that, you know, rewinds and, you know, you can go around and learn about all these different characters and wrestlers and people.
Another question from Beammaster. Is there any talent in TNA or AEW that you would consider signing to a WWE contract? If so, what show would you put them on? Anybody you would sign?
MJF Raw main event right now.
That's Randy Orton's opponent.
Exactly.
No. So I have three from each. We'll start with AEW. MJF is not one of them. Solely because I don't know if MJF at this point is like, I'm just going to say it. I know it's controversial. MJF is washed.
Nah, he can turn it on. It's just that he's not getting the creative juice right now.
I get it. Absolutely agree. But he washed right now. So the three that I would pick from AEW would be Orange Cassidy. I think that would be fun. Megan Bain. I just want to look at Megan Bain every week. I mean, I could do that on AEW now, but that means I want to watch good product while watching Megan Bain. And then Thunder Rosa, just because, again,
give me MJF, Anthony Bowens.
You don't want Mark Briscoe?
Nah. I mean, low key, he probably, imagine Mark Briscoe and R-Truth as like a comedic tag team.
Oh my god.
Give Mark Briscoe. And put on SmackDown. Him and R-Truth on SmackDown. I want them feuding with Pretty Deadly. I booked it right there. Give me if we're going TNA, give me AJ Francis, and I want a straight manager. No, don't touch the ring. No, even during the entrance, don't step foot in the ring. You're gonna be a manager, okay? So when you walk down with Ashante the Adonis, okay? Ashante the Adonis, he will slide into the ring. You will walk to ringside as Ashante does his introduction. As he gets ready, you will not step foot in the ring, okay? You will walk down the ramp, go ringside.
That's crazy.
With Ashante the Adonis. Or, Loki, I'll pair you up even better. I'll pair you up with imagine him the mouthpiece of just like Akira Tozawa.
That's crazy. This man AJ Francis is actually a good wrestler though. Y'all be hating.
Yes, he's a good wrestler. Like he knows the X's and O's, and you can rely on him to, you know, be the main event of your local indie show. But he, as far as WWE talent, this man is not main eventing a Backlash, okay? He's not main eventing a Stand and Deliver, okay? He's not main eventing a Halloween Havoc, okay? AJ Francis is a good wrestler, but he is not. He proved in TNA. He is not main event talent, okay? Him and Joe Henry. The reason they main evented is because it's TNA, okay? they're in front of like this 200-ish fans, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Even before that, it was even worse. They were in front of like 30 fans. Half of them were security guards with wrestling shirts on. Okay, I mean, it turns into a shoot session, but
look, If we're going from TNA, though, you know, you brought up AJ Francis. Let's do the other side of his team, the good one, KC Navarro. If you haven't seen him, I know you probably never heard that name.
No, I know.
Very good.
He's from Northeast Wrestling.
Yeah, KC Navarro. Bring him to WWE. Bro's talented. This one's controversial, but you weren't going to ask me about TNA and not expect this answer. Tessa Blanchard. I want Tessa versus Charlotte Flair because that match would be toxic as fuck.
let them on your own promos. off the cuff rap battle
stuff. Look, I know I said I don't want rap battle, but I want Tessa versus Charlotte. No gimmick, no story. Just go on. Say what you got to say about each other. Because that'd be fucking hilarious. That'd be toxic as fuck. And then the last one.
Tessa Blanchard versus Bianca Belair.
Oh, shit.
How much shit can Bianca talk before he first calls her the N-word?
Oh, my God.
I'm the roughest, the toughest, the meanest, the greatest. And yeah, you're the ghettoist. And the
Oh, my God. And then the last one would be Danny Luna. She's part of, I don't even know if she's still part of a tag team, but she's the one with the green hair. That's the best way I can explain her. But she's young. Shotzi? A little bit thicker than Shotzi, but she's good. She's like 24. So I wanted to choose some younger ones as potential talent for my NXT. We'll move on. Kara asked two questions. The first one will be, once Kaiser gets his push, how do you envision his gimmick will be, and who would he feud with? I don't have an answer because I don't even know if he's going to get a push. I'm just going to be honest with you. I would enjoy Kaiser with the IC title. I don't know why he's not in that match. But
I think WWE needs to take a page out of their video game book, and when it comes to booking and stories and everything, put a little focus on a mixed tag team championship, okay? I want to see some mixed tag team wrestling. Imagine a story of like Tiffany and Kaiser versus like, I don't know,
Charlotte and Andrade? No, I'm kidding.
Cora Jade and like half the NXT roster.
Right.
Imagine that. Or
Izzy Damon Braun Breaker.
Exactly. Or like Montez Ford and Bianca Belair versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Also, in the video game, the men and women can fight each other too. But anyway, but we'll start short. We'll start some mixed tag team stuff. And bring in some of that reality stuff like they're doing for a short time where they had like the real life couples like interacting on screen and stuff. All right, stop treating us like we're stupid fans. We know who's dating who, okay? Let's see them, you know, interact on screen a little bit.
Okay. The next one's a little bit of a joke question here. He said, from Kara, when will We Too Deep wear a Tiffy Time shirt? And here's the answer. If you buy it, I will wear it. Like I said, I don't have a personal beef with her. She just needs to learn how to play a character. And then our last question of the night is from B-Master. Since Tiffany broke the fourth wall, should WWE allow others to do so as well? I'll say this. My answer is absolutely not. However, I want to change it a little bit. If it fits the storyline, I have no problem with it.
If it's public knowledge, let it fly. All right.
But even if it's public knowledge, I just think that it needs to fit within the story. Everyone knows Charlotte Flair is, you know, three times divorced, but it shouldn't be Tiffany Stratton, the baby face that you're trying to feel sympathy for, to expose it. That's just how I feel about it.
I'm just saying that there's no reason, all right, in the last 10-ish years, however long it's been, that Paige hasn't caught a single diss about her sex tapes.
The only one that's caught it was Xavier Woods.
Right. Yeah, it's like Paige, like if someone say Paige was in a story, right? Where like say she was like a face and she was getting beat up by like a heel tag team, whatever, these two girls.
Right.
And then Paige complaining, like, yeah, you two keep jumping me or whatever. And it's like, and the other person, like, say, it's like, say it's like Tessa Blanchard. She'd be like, well, you know what, Paige?
I just thought of the perfect way you could bring this up.
It's like, you had a problem with a dull team in the past, so why does it change now?
Here's how we got to bring this up. Paige is about to re-sign. Send her to NXT. Have our boys swipe right show up and be like, bro, it's that girl from that video, and then just walk off screen. Just walk off screen. Everyone will know what they're talking about. Everyone will fucking hate them, but they're heels. By the way, great match they put on, from what I've heard tonight on NXT. I haven't watched it yet, but our boys are on NXT.
I got big news.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm breaking this news to you or not, but word on the street is, from what I saw from like PWI or whatever, and so it seems like July 5th will be the return of Evolution, the pay-per-view.
Okay. Yeah, that's been the rumor. Have they officially? I mean, I'm certain they'll make it official soon.
Well, and they said it's supposed to be here in Connecticut.
In Connecticut?
Yeah, here at Mohegan Sun, the casino.
Ah, that's where the Sun play, right?
Yeah. So my manager at work was telling me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they're wrestling fans ish. So they're thinking we might take a little trip up to Mohegan together. You know, saying close up shop early. Or, I mean, I don't work Saturdays anyways, or Fridays, right, whatever it's going to be. But we're thinking about going to see the show.
Shit.
So I might be it's scheduled for July 5th in Connecticut.
All right. We might need to start saving, because I want to go to Evolution. I think it's a good idea, like an all-women's pay-per-view, especially with the talent we have now. Oh, that's gonna be a banger. It's gonna be a banger. Look, that's July 4th weekend. Can we have like, can we bring back at least one Divas match though? Like some sort of, summer in the sun, bikini style match. You know,
for historic reasons.
For the nostalgia.
Yeah, to show the progression.
Right. All right. Let's close the show here with bracket battles. We're moving on with the first round here. This first matchup is Welcome to the Queendom, Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, to the Queendom,
versus whatever, Chris Benoit.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Oh, no, I already know what I'm
picking. I already know what I'm picking. The next matchup, Shawn Michaels, Sexy Boy.
I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Versus, Are You Ready, DX.
Are you ready? Break it down.
All right, next matchup, Shane McMahon, Here Comes the Money.
Here Comes the Money. Money, 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 money.
Versus one of the best themes in AEW, you know it's all about the boom, Adam Cole.
You know it's all about the boom, in Adam Cole, baby.
Your new TNT type champion, by the way. Congratulations, Adam Cole. In the fourth and final matchup for this week, you have Triple H, The Game.
It's all about the play. It's all about the game. Yeah, you can't take it. It's all about the game.
Versus Slow Chemical Kane.
I can't really do that one, but I know it.
So you can go to the Discord, or that's where we vote. Link is in the description page. As always, though, we're going to give DJ Wavy D the final word and then we're going to head up out of here.
You say it's a shame Chris Benoit did what he did, or, you know, it did what he was accused of, or, you know, say it was accused of what he did. You know, so I wasn't there. I don't know if he did it or not. But, you know, the whole situation.
It really took away a great match the next week of Benoit and CM Punk. But, you know.
It took away a great match. it took away a great theme song. You know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Benoit, his theme song are not like Adolf Hitler and a mustache. You know what I'm saying? Like that, the person just ruined it so much to where I can't play the song. I can't wear the mustache. Like, low key, the Hitler stash is kind of a vibe, bro. I don't know if you ever shaving, you know, you're doing like a clean shave, and just like in the middle of shaving, you're like, let me see how it looks, and you put this Hitler stash on for like 2 minutes mid shave.
I can't say I've ever done that, but I also haven't shaved in like 3 years. So
I'm telling you, if you ever do clean shave, or, you know, say if you ever, you know, have to go through that process, so throw on the Hitler stash for like 2 minutes and look in the mirror. It's low key a vibe. It's a look.
So it's a look, all right.
He ruined it. He ruined a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, and with that note, we'll end this podcast before we get canceled off of YouTube.
No Kanye. Yeah,
right. But with that, that was another good episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. Again, don't forget to join myself tomorrow night live on the channel. Hear what I got to say about AEW. See what we got going on. I'm going to watch it, and then we'll go live probably around 10:30-ish. Maybe depends on how long the overrun is, because you know they're gonna have one. But with that, we'll close this out. See you guys on the next episode. And next week, before Wavy D heads on out to Vegas to have the time of his life, we will be doing a Stand and Deliver and a WrestleMania prediction show next week.
Yes.
So join us for that. Until then, we will see you on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.